VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. As we shared earlier this week, this past Saturday, late afternoon local time here, it was night in Israel, but Iran launched a direct attack on Israel. Over 350 suicide drones, cruise missiles, anti-ballistic missiles, rockets launched against Israel. The attack coming from Iran, who said it was in retaliation for Israel's killing of Iranian military commanders at the Iranian consulate in Damascus. The IDF has pledged to retaliate against Iran, and Iran is warning Israel not to do so. We're going to get an inside look from Israel here today as we welcome back to Crosstalk David Rubin, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, author of seven books, including Confronting Radicals, What America Can Learn from Israel. He is a founder and president of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that was established after he and his three-year-old son were wounded in a terror attack. His websites are davidrubinisrael.com and israelchildren.org, israelchildren.org. He is in the region of Judea and Samaria. David, thank you for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You're welcome. Good to be with you, Jim.
David, take us back to your late Saturday night. When did you personally become aware of the attack that had been launched by Iran?
I was at about 10 p.m., 10:30 p.m., something like that, and I heard that the first missiles were being fired and that they would be arriving in Israel by about 1:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm. And what transpires? Are people seeking shelter immediately at that point?
No. But we had an approximate idea of when the missiles would be coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's a siren that goes off in your community, so you go and you seek shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we have bomb shelters, and we have enough preparation time, basically. The siren goes off, you have 5 minutes to get to the shelter. And there were a lot of people running to shelters at about 2 a.m. in the morning.
So some 350 suicide drones and other missiles. Tell us about Israel's amazing defense against this attack.
Well, there were over 300, and they were, as you described, there were two different kinds. The ones that take longer, the ones that give more advance notice, and the ones that you only have a few minutes notice that they're on their way. But in any event, the way it works with the sirens is about the same. So, the situation was like this. You know, the missiles. Most of them did not land. 99% of the missiles were picked off by our air defense system. And I'm not going to get into the details of our air defense system, but it's enough to say that 99% of the missiles were picked off.
Mm-hmm.
There was one child who was wounded badly, and other than that, there were no civilians who were hurt because, as I said, 99% of the missiles were picked off,
and
there was some minor damage done, property damage, but other than that, no damage was done at all.
Yeah.
And we're talking over 300 missiles,
right.
So. You know, fired at a tiny country that's about the size of New Jersey.
Yeah.
So that should give you a little sense of perspective.
Yeah. I mean, some have declared it to, I know some within Israel are even talking about a miracle, even in Israel's protection with this. But you mentioned a young girl was, a young child severely injured, and just express to our listeners the trauma that comes on Israel when, like, an attack like this is launched, and especially the trauma that's faced by children. I mean, this is something, yeah, this came from Iran, but we know what happened on October 7th as well, the heinous, barbaric attack from Hamas. We know that there are missiles that fly in from Hezbollah. What kind of trauma does this give on Israelis and especially on children?
Well, it just adds to it. I mean, you know about trauma if you know about the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund that I had and that I founded, and it was founded after my three-year-old son and I were wounded in a terror shooting attack when we were coming home in our car. The bullets hit, and the car went completely dead. I was shot in the leg. My son was shot in the head. And we couldn't get the car to start. Finally, the car started miraculously, speak of miracles, and we got away from the terrorists. But the wounds weren't just physical. We later found out, and even though the bullet that went into my son's head and through his neck missed his brainstem by 1 millimeter, we know that the wounds were much greater. The psychological wounds, the trauma, the post-trauma psychological wounds were severe, and they last for many years. So you know, as I say now, the war is still going on, but the trauma, the national trauma that we're experiencing in Israel, and especially that the children are experiencing, will continue for months and years to come.
Yeah.
This we know from experience. You know, we've been healing trauma for 20 years, and we use all kinds of therapeutic programs. We have a great operation that welcomes support from Friends of Israel around the world. And, you know, so by the way, I'll just get the website out there for people who want to partner with us and want to help the children of Israel that have suffered so much and suffering so much trauma today as we speak already. IsraelChildren.org is the website. IsraelChildren.org.
David, as you mentioned, 99% of these missiles and so forth were shot down, these drones. President Biden, in essence, contacted the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, and basically said, hey, you've had a win here. There's no loss of life. You showed them a strong defense, knocked out all their missiles, and no, you know, loss of life. Let bygones be bygones. Don't retaliate. Don't escalate this. I know it's just a paraphrase, but give me your perspective on that, if you would.
Well, it's a bit absurd, and it comes from self-interest, obviously. Biden, Biden, he made a speech in Congress, and he said, I don't know if it was in Congress, but he said it publicly, I expressly warned Israel not to attack Haifa.
Yes, Haifa, now, their own city.
Yeah, that's a city in Israel. He made a little mistake, well, which he is prone to do. But just the idea that he warned Israel not to retaliate against Iran in a big way and to limit its response to Iran, I think that's a big mistake. And it's most Israelis think it's a big mistake. And I know that President Biden does not want a big outbreak of conflict in the Middle East. He doesn't want to have Iran firing missiles and Israel responding and back and forth and, you know, turning into something really, really big. But the fact is that Iran is on the nuclear threshold, and that he's known for years Biden has known for years that Israel is going to have to respond to that at some point. And in fact, Biden should be involved in at least supporting that, at least supporting it politically and not pressuring Israel not to respond. There will be a response. But, you know, as you know, Jim, Israel is in a five-front war right now. And those five fronts are Lebanon, where the Hezbollah terrorist organization that Iran finances heavily has 150,000 missiles pointed at Israeli cities as we speak. The other front is Judea and Samaria, the so-called West Bank, where Hamas is active, where the Fatah terrorist organization and the Palestinian Authority are active in trying to commit terror attacks against Israeli civilians. And then, of course, there is Gaza. And in Gaza, we know what happened. We know that 1,200 Israeli civilians were brutally, savagely massacred, tortured, raped, beheaded. Can I go on and on? Okay, I could explain it, and I can explain it in a hundred words, but nothing will come near the savagery that was experienced on October 7th. Mm-hmm. Nothing. And then, of course, there is the South, where Iran has been supporting the Houthis, who have been stopping American ships at sea, who have been stopping Israeli ships at sea and any European ships that pass through the Gulf of Eilat in the south of Israel, between Israel and Egypt. And, you know, that reminds me of the Barbary pirates who did that at the time of the founding of the United States of America, just a few years after. And Thomas Jefferson went out and he bought a copy of the Quran, the Islamic so-called holy book. And so people asked him, why are you buying a copy of the Quran and the American government? And he told them that he's buying it because he wants to understand the mentality of the Barbary pirates. And the savagery of the Barbary pirates who were stopping ships at sea. So Iran has been supporting all of this, and Iran is the fifth front because they're the head of the octopus. So Israel is active in Gaza. Israel is active in Lebanon. Israel is active in Judea and Samaria, trying to defend ourselves on all fronts. And now Iran is trying to open up a full-scale war, and we Israelis understand that it's eventually coming to that.
Friends, you're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. David Rubin is with us. He is in Israel as we speak and giving us a view from within. We're going to come back and talk further about this attack launched by Iran. We're also going to look further as to Israel's efforts in Gaza, and especially as it relates to invading a city there that is filled with members of Hamas. So we'll be back. That would be Rafa back in a minute here on Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, geologist and president of the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, in total, how many animal species have been found in the fossil record?
You know, Chris, the answer to this question surprised me. Evolutionists are fond of talking about millions and millions of fossil animal types, but in reality, only about 250,000 fossil species have ever been found. That's far fewer than the number of species that are still existing today. And it certainly is not many compared to the millions and billions of animals which must have existed if evolution were true. What we find in the fossil record are clams and snails and coral, the very same kind of animals that are alive today. Face it, Chris, evolution didn't happen. It's not happening today, and it didn't happen in the past, as recorded in the fossils. What happened is creation, just like it says back in Genesis.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more info on Genesis, visit us on the web at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Today, giving you a view from within Israel, looking at this, the multiple attacks that have been launched against this nation, a nation that has certainly, since 1948, has been in existence, but we know the land given to Israel far before 1948. We're talking with David Rubin today. He is a founder of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, their website, israelchildren.org, israelchildren.org. He is in the region of Judea and Samaria and giving us this view from within. David, let me ask you this. Let me get your perspective on the Biden administration. Are they playing this on both sides? I mean, when we come to Iran, here we have them lifting all these Iran sanctions and seeing tons of money poured into Iran and at the same time providing weaponry and support for Israel. Are they playing both ends of this?
Well, I don't think that Biden's trying to cozy up to Iran. I do know that Biden supported the Iran deal, and Biden also supported the subsequent agreement by which he shipped many millions of dollars to Iran in suitcases. So there is some conflicting, I don't want to call it hypocrisy, but there is some conflict there. And recently, obviously Biden seems to be understanding that that whole policy was a problem. I don't think he would admit it publicly, but there were just some sanctions that he put on Iran, minor sanctions. And but he's in an election, and he doesn't want to see conflict. You know, this is the Democratic Party, unfortunately, of today, where they don't want to see conflict, and they're trying to avoid conflict. And if you try to avoid conflict, you know, try to avoid confronting evil, then you have a problem. You know, you have to confront evil. You know, my latest book is called Confronting Radicals. You have to confront the radicals. It doesn't matter whether it's the Muslim radicals in Iran or whether it's the leftist radicals in America or in Europe. You have to confront the radicals. And Biden doesn't seem to understand that that because he never confronted the radicals, so now those Islamic radicals are coming back to haunt him. But it's too late. It's too late to turn the clock around, and he's trying not to ruin his election campaign by having a conflict in the Middle East. But really, the best solution would be to give Israel the full support that it needs on the political level, and also passive military support, meaning just fulfilling weapons deals that were previously made, and giving Israel the ammunition it needs, and let Israel do the job. We know how to do it. And, you know, if we have the full political backing, then we will win decisively, both in Gaza and in Lebanon and in Judea and Samaria and in Iran.
So Israel has vowed to respond at a time of their choosing. And do you have confidence they will? I mean, international pressure, I should say, is been building and is becoming more and more intense. Is there indeed fortitude on the part of your prime minister to actually retaliate against Iran?
Well, what I've heard is that the prime minister has gotten Biden's okay to go forward with the offensive in Rafah, which is the Gazan city along the border with Egypt, where all the leaders of the Hamas, at least the internal leaders of the Hamas, are believed to be ensconced, where many of the hostages are being held captive, the 134 hostages that they captured. Now it's 133 as far as we know. We know of one that was killed by them. And so that is a major city in Gaza that Israel has been holding off on at Biden's insistence.
And what about Iran itself, though, an attack against Iran?
Iran will be attacked.
Okay.
And there will be an Israeli response to the attempted slaughter in Israel by those missiles.
And do you think that's days away, weeks away?
I'm not going to say exactly, but I think we're going to be seeing it pretty soon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that the Passover holiday coming,
yes,
which indicates a Passover holiday in which we celebrate our redemption from slavery in Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to have what to celebrate this year as well, even if it comes sometime shortly after the end of the holiday.
Iran, as you know, has vowed a massive response if Israel launches what they call even the tiniest invasion in all of this. So I'd like you to comment on Iran's retaliation to that, and also if there's any knowledge as to how large Iran's arsenal is. I mean, did these 300-plus suicide drones and missiles, is this only the tip of the iceberg to what they really have?
It's only the tip of the iceberg. It was a serious attack on Israel's sovereignty. But it's only the tip of the iceberg, as you said.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been preparing for this for many years, and we know how to respond. And I'm not going to get into any details on that either. But we know how to respond, and the time will come, and in the right way.
Yeah. So we've actually been hearing for quite some time now that Iran is close to enriching uranium to the point of having nuclear weapons. Do we know what the status of that is? I mean, have they developed that at this point?
Well, then, as far as we know, they are not producing a nuclear bomb yet, but they do have the ability, or they're extremely, extremely close. You know, we're talking about a matter of days or weeks from having the ability, meaning the enriched uranium up to the necessary levels, to produce a nuclear bomb. So, you know, those missiles that were fired, within a reasonable amount of time, they will be able to fire those missiles, those same missiles, with nuclear warheads.
And this, I mean, such development, though, that has always been the red line for your prime minister, has it not?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Let's hit another issue. You brought up Rafah here just a bit ago, and it seemed like Israel was just on the brink of launching this attack in Rafah to really go after Hamas. And I know the prime minister had a timetable in his mind that this was going to happen. We understand that that had been approved, and now because of the attack from Iran, that seems to be on hold at this time. Is this allowing Hamas to regroup at all, or is there offensive still taking place by Israel in Gaza?
Well, it's certainly given them time to regroup. And, you know, if you ask me, I would tell you that a majority of Israelis which wish that we had gone into Rafah a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't happen. So we know how to adjust, and we know that they're regrouping, yes. But you know, we also know how to regroup, and we know how to do what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, I know that there were negotiations constantly taking place for Hamas to release 40 hostages and in exchange for a period of ceasefire. And then the word from Hamas indicates that no, would not be able to do 40, now just 20. We mentioned right now 133 hostages. Do we have any reliable intelligence to know how many of these 133 are still alive?
Well, we know some that are not alive. We know that we know some that are alive.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't gotten that information. The Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, demanded that information in negotiations of who was alive and who was not. And one of the leaders of Hamas just said today that they really don't know how many are alive, how many of the are dead, and they also don't know where many of them are. You know, this is a primitive, savage organization. You know, they may be very modern in terms of knowing how to fight a war of terrorism, but they're actually very primitive, and in their beliefs, and they believe that you can sell people. They believe in slavery, and they've been selling the Israeli hostages to different civilians in Gaza. And so the hostages are spread out in many places.
Hmm.
That much we know. Now what needs to be done about it? Well, what we see is that the negotiations are going nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Hamas is insisting on a total halt in the fighting, not a ceasefire. They've been demanding consistently that Israel withdraw from Gaza completely and let them take control again. We're not going to allow that. No Israeli would agree to that.
In talking about the hostages, there have been reports, coverage of hostages having committed suicide, just not able to live with the continued torture and the gang rapes and mutilations and severe persecution taking place. Any information on this? Is that reliable information that some have taken their own lives?
Well, it's very possible. What we know is that the hostages who were released in the one deal that there was, the limited amount of hostages that were released, are having a very hard time of it. The trauma is very deep.
Yeah.
And they have, you know, finally started opening up about it. You know, trauma, what we know in the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund is that trauma is very deep when it's not dealt with and when it's buried inside. And recently, just as we've seen with the thousands of children who we treat here in Israel, the released hostages, you know, some of whom, you know, we have treated as well, are starting to open up about the traumas that they've experienced,
yeah.
And it is horrible.
Friends, we're up against a break. We're speaking with David Rubin. He is in Israel as we speak and giving a view from within. He is founder of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. Their website is israelchildren.org. Israelchildren.org. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk.
In the early 20th century, Germany didn't look like a country on the brink of world-shaking terrors. It looked like America today. In Dr. Erwin Lutzer's book, When a Nation Forgets God, he uses history to warn us of a future that none of us wants to see. When a Nation Forgets God is a 145-page book that's 50% off this month at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. In this book, Dr. Lutzer studies seven similarities between Nazi Germany and America today, some of them chilling, and cautions us to respond accordingly. The book explains the mess of our nation's government, economy, legal pitfalls, and propaganda, but urges us to speak up, take action, and trust in God. When a Nation Forgets God by Dr. Erwin Lutzer is 50% off through April 30th at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. You can order by calling 888-722-4829 or by shopping online at vcy.com.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. David Rubin is with us today, the former mayor of Shiloh, Israel, and he is in the region of Judea, Samaria, founder of the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund. IsraelChildren.org is the website, and giving us a view from within today. David's been with us here since the October 7th attack, of course, but now another attack launched. And friends, these are perhaps larger ones, but there are regular attacks going in Israel. And David, I know that even while this is unfolding, I just saw Israel National News reported yesterday, 18 people injured after a kamikaze drone hit a community center in northern Israel.
Well, the attacks are in northern Israel as well.
Mm-hmm.
That one was from the Hezbollah terrorist organization, which, as I already mentioned, is heavily financed by Iran. Mm-hmm. It was established by Iran. It's a creation of Iran. And their 150,000 missiles all come from Iran.
I'd like you to comment as well on the anti-Israel sentiment that's happening on university campuses across the country, the United States. I'm referring to the not only on campuses, but in leftist cities across America. I mean, we saw the shutting down of the Golden Gate Bridge just the other day. There was also shutting down the interstate highways going to Chicago International Airport, O'Hare Airport. Other locations as well, this is happening. Your thoughts on what we're seeing, this rising pro-Palestinian, anti-Israel sentiment?
Well, it's obviously very, very heavily Muslim. It's spearheaded by Muslim radicals who are violent, who have none of the American spirit in them. They came to America and they're just there to make trouble. It's not an accident that there were demonstrations on the day after the Iranian attack on Israel. There were demonstrations in Dearborn, Michigan.
Yes.
Where they were shouting "Death to Israel" and "Death to America."
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, these are people who have been welcomed into America, and who many of whom have been given American citizenship, or certainly American residency. Should these people be chanting "Death to America"? Where is their gratitude for America welcoming them in?
You know, David, I'm going to play an audio clip that came from Fox News. They were covering a pro-Palestinian training that came to Chicago. People came in to work on plans to demonstrate at the upcoming Democratic National Convention this August, and they had a breakout session, and people were schooled on chanting "Death to Israel" in Farsi, and then this went to "Death to America." Let's listen to the clip.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks. So you're going to say, "Marg bar.
Marg bar.
Marg bar Israel.
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 Marg bar Israel."
It has two meanings, depending on the It can mean "death to" or "down with." So,
can we get a Marg Bar America?
We can get a Marg Bar America. Yes, we can.
Marg
Bar America!
Marg Bar America!
Marg Bar America!
Marg Bar America! Marg Bar America!
So there we have, David, the training going on. They're prepping for the Democratic National Convention. And no doubt, prepping is going on for the Republican National Convention, too. But, the death to Israel, they say, or it can mean "down to Israel." They're meaning "death to Israel." They're also meaning "death to America." This just happening in the Chicago area.
Yeah, well, it's sad, and it's an outrage. It it's an outrage that is the education that people are receiving in the United States of America today. And, you know, in the universities, I'll tell you, the American university system is a mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. It used to be a place where people would go to learn how to think and to discuss ideas and to revel in the marketplace of ideas. That all has changed, and I think people should be very careful about where they send their children to learn these days.
Friends, we're opening our phone lines. David is in Israel. You can have opportunity to ask your questions of him. Our number, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Taking your calls today on Crosstalk. Again, get online right away, 800-733-9829. We've played some clips before from Dearborn, but let me just also play this from Dearborn, Michigan.
I love the America!
Malcolm X said, and I quote, "We live in one of the rottenest countries that has ever existed on this earth. It's not Genocide Joe that has to go. It's the entire system that has to go. Any system that would allow such atrocities and such devilry to happen and would support it, such a system does not deserve to exist on God's earth."
Friends, again, this from Dearborn, Michigan, and when you see the total overthrow that they are pushing for here of our United States system, that is of our Constitution, that is of our rule of law, that is of our governance system here across this land, that is of, you know, wiping out the freedoms that we have. Matter of fact, they're utilizing our freedom in order to advance their cause. And we see this that is taking place. This from Dearborn. And we've had speakers before, former Muslim Shahram Haidian, who has been with us, who talked about once they reached the upper house, that is, when they get to that 5-6% mark, and when they get to that level soon, they're going to see, you know, the toppling down of communities. And he talked about what happened. We've seen that in Minneapolis. We're seeing that in Dearborn, Michigan. It's happening in other locations. And New York City, where they're playing the Islamic call to prayer that really is calling for the removal of Israel, and by doing so, by putting, you know, forth their worship of Allah, who says take no Jew or don't take the infidel for your friends. It is to strike the next of the infidel, referring to Jews and to Christians. David, this proliferation is something that must be brought to a stop here in our own nation.
You spoke my own words, Jim.
Yeah. Friends, our line here to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. We're going to begin with Mark calling from Wisconsin. Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Thank you. What do you guys think about this? Okay, I mean, there's a spirit of, like, there's unclean spirits everywhere. And the flood has been opened upon the nation. And I know this, you know, a lot of people that have eyes to see and ears to hear, they know, you know, those who have been quickened and have the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, as they call it. You know, it's flooded around our nation. And a lot of the church, they don't listen to the ones that are being awakened. You know, like, I mean, I can personally say myself, like, the Lord woke me up and I never read the Bible. I was baptized as a kid, but I never read the Bible. I didn't go to church. You know, I always believed in Jesus, but I didn't think I was worthy enough.
Okay, so Mark, let's tie your conversation into Israel today.
Okay, with Israel today, you know, spiritual Israel is over here as well.
Okay, and we're not going this direction here, Mark. And again, we have certainly indicated, as you read a literal interpretation of the scripture, that God's promise to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob is a forever promise that has taken place. That is both to the land and to the people. We're going to cover that issue another day as we have, but let's talk with David Rubin here today. Your questions about, we're talking about these attacks that are going on against Israel right now, and we're seeing this, the anti-Jew hatred that is escalating across this globe. We've got Michelle next in the state of Ohio. And Michelle, you're on the air.
Thanks, Jim, for taking my call and question here. My question is, with Israel surrounded on all sides, just like the scriptures said, and to the fact of the temple in progress of being built and now the red calf, could your guest today speak to that? Where is that status at, considering all that's going on in the wars and portions of that in connection to that prophecy? Where are we with the red calf? It's a solid deal.
The red heifers that have been in Israel. David, do you have any information on that?
Oh, of course. It's just down the street from where I live. It's in ancient Shiloh. That's where they are. Look, there are a lot of people who are preparing for what they hope would be the fulfillment of prophecy in the rebuilding of the Holy Temple. But we're here on the ground, and we have to work in these times. And until the people of Israel aren't ready for the rebuilding of the Holy Temple, it's not going to happen. So, if it gives any encouragement to the caller, she should know that. That in Israel, unlike in some other countries in the Western world, there is a movement towards religion and towards our Judaism, strengthening of the connection with God, the traditional family, and all of the beliefs that go with that, with a God-based philosophy of life.
Michelle, thank you for the call. We're going to another Ohioan from Medford, Ohio. We have Clifford calling you on the air.
Yeah. Am I on there, you say?
You're on the air.
Okay. I just wanted to let the guy know, I don't know, maybe he figures this out, or the Israeli government, that if they do attack, don't tell us, because our government's infiltrated with Nazi fascists. You know, and they'll tell whatever happens come, they'd be better off trust Saudi Arabia than us. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend sometimes. But that was more or less my comment. Okay. And thanks to Obama and this bunch, you know, they messed our government up for the last 15 years or so.
Okay, thank you for that. David, can Israel trust the United States? And I think that's what the caller is pointing out here. There are some that have said, hey, that Iran gave U.S. notice about their attack upon Israel. That's been denied by the Biden administration. But can Israel trust the United States?
Well, I think the caller was on target. We do have a real issue with the Biden administration. We're trying to work with it because that's who's in power right now. Of course, in November, Americans will go to the polls and we'll have a choice.
Friends, thank you for the call, Clifford. We're just seconds from a break, so we'll be taking the break and more of your calls right after the break. David Rubin is our guest here today. The website is israelchildren.org, israelchildren.org. You can learn more about the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund, but we're taking a look today at the attacks on Israel and providing you a view from within. David is in Israel and certainly lives and experiences this every single day. He sees the trauma firsthand. His own family has gone through trauma and is certainly to give us a perspective that's not filtered by the national media, but directly from within the nation of Israel. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. Well, sadly, my friends, we have seen Israel attacked yet again. This time, a direct attack, but not just from Iran. Many are reporting that Iran attacked Israel. True, but it was really more than that. It was the Islamic Revolutionary Guard. And the rockets and the drones were coming in from not just Iran, but also from Yemen, from Iraq, from Syria, and from Lebanon. So let's spread the word, folks. This was not just an attack by Iran. It was an attack by an Islamic bloc of nations. Interestingly enough, it's now being admitted by Saudi Arabia themselves that they stepped in to help defend Israel. The Bible speaks of these kind of scenarios playing out. Is the stage being set for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled? I believe it is. But sadly, with all this going on, the rise of anti-Semitism is also increasing, which the Bible predicted.
David Rubin, our guest here today from Israel, and taking your calls, gaining his perspective on what is taking place. Certainly the constant barrage that is taking place, the attacks on Israel from multiple fronts, and taking your questions. Let's go right back to the phone lines here. And we have Karen next in Wisconsin. Karen, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is probably sort of a strange question, but I've been curious to know about Israel's prison capacity to house the terrorists that have been caught. Plus, I wonder, like, when their sentences are up, are they free to return to Gaza?
Hmm. Good questions. Thank you, Karen. David.
Okay, well, there are a lot of questions relating to what will be on the day after once we've totally conquered Gaza. I think it's becoming clearer and clearer that Israel will be the only one to control Gaza. There will not be any other military force in Gaza. And most Israelis totally support that. And then there are some differences of agreement on the question of whether Israelis should be allowed to reestablish the communities that were destroyed, the Israeli communities that were destroyed in Gaza some years back. But everyone is in agreement on Israel having full security control in Gaza.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as the prisoners, the terrorists who are in Israeli jails, they will not be allowed to go back to Gaza. I feel pretty certain about that. And in terms of our jail capacity, well, we're trying to increase our jail capacity to make sure that we can handle all the terrorists that are coming through.
Thank you, Karen. Will is calling from Columbia, Kentucky. Will, you're on the air.
Yes, thank you, first of all, for taking my call, and I'd also like to thank your honorable guest for spending time with us today. My question would be, what do you think is the appropriate response or action that should be taken towards those people in America that are chanting death to Israel, death to America? Does freedom of speech have a fine line that can be crossed? Hmm. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you. Your thoughts on that, David?
Well, look, I'm not a legal expert, but I do know that the example always given when it comes to the red lines of free speech is that you can't shout fire in a crowded theater. I believe that's the one. Look, there are limits to how much you can agitate for violence.
Mm-hmm.
And free speech goes up to a certain point.
Yeah,
and if you're calling for violence and you're calling for death to America, that's a call to treason. And I feel pretty sure that that's something that should not be allowed.
Yeah.
It's something that goes against the norms and the law in the United States. If I'm wrong, please correct me.
And David, when the chant also goes out from the river to the sea, Palestine will be free, that is also, that's also saying death to Israel too, is it not?
Oh, of course. Most of the people who chant that don't know what the river is and don't know what the sea is.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the Muslims do, though.
Yeah.
The ignorant college students who chant it, they don't know what it is. They don't know their history. But the fact is that the sea is the Mediterranean Sea. The river is the Jordan River. And Jordan River is currently the eastern border of Israel. The Mediterranean Sea is the western border of Israel. So I think it's the meaning is pretty clear.
Pensacola, Florida. We have Julie calling. Julie, you're on the air.
I just want to share an experience that I went through just recently. In the mall where I live locally, there was an Israeli gal there that I met, became friends with, and she served in the IDF for a couple of years, and she's like 27, and she wasn't really dressed that well. I mean, she had her belly showing. She had,
Let's go right to your right to your main point, if you would.
Well, she said that Hamas posted a lot about the October 7th death. You know, they mm-hmm. showed a lot of videos, and she saw it. And she also said that they would kill her for the way she's dressed right now. And I just wanted to share that with you and ask you, what is going on with like the people of Israel? Are they all wanting to get back with God, or are they the way she was dressed? I don't know.
Okay, I think I've already answered that question with one of the previous callers. The movement, look, you're going to have all kinds of people in every country. In Israel, there are some who are far less conservative than the woman that you're describing, and far more conservative than the woman you're mm-hmm. describing. But the fact is that Israel is moving towards religion. The trends all show that Israel is becoming more religious, that Israel is becoming more family-oriented, that Israelis are having more children, and that's the opposite of the trends in the United States and in Europe.
Thank you for the call here, Julie. We have Casey in Iowa. You're on the air. Hello, Casey. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. Well, I listen to your show every day, but I'm just saying that the guy that lives in Israel, the guy that you're talking to, I mean, I listen to his rhetoric. I mean, is he not pretty much doing the same thing that those people Hamas are doing by promoting violence?
Okay, let me ask you, David, we've got 40 seconds. Aren't you doing what you're condemning of others? You're promoting violence?
How am I promoting violence?
Yeah.
I'm saying that the Israeli military should wipe out the radical Muslim terrorists. Hey, you know, we teach our children that there's good and evil in the world.
Yeah.
And I think that evil has to be confronted.
Yeah, Hamas is saying that Israel does not have a right to exist. Jews, they will use derogatory terms and teach young children to hate Jewish people. And as such, Israel just wants to exist. It was not what they asked for on October 7th. It came their way, and Israel must respond. We are out of time. David, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Jim. I appreciate it.
David Rubin from Israel here today. And friends, the website israelchildren.org. That's israelchildren.org. You can find out more about his writings at davidrubinisrael.com. And friends, as always, we do encourage you to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.